I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating the sexual health issues of men, with 5 New England offices, or at northeastmenshealth.com, by Land Rover of Norwood, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow, and by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Hello, Coach.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Not likely that you're going to win a football game when you turn the ball over 4 times.
No, that's right. You know, you turn the ball over 4 times, it's tough to walk away with a win.
We were talking earlier about penalties. I know you talked about this a little bit post-game, but 12 last week, 9 this week, over 100 yards. What do you do to fix that?
It finally settled down in the second half as far as penalties are concerned. I would say in the first half, I think we had 7 penalties there, and we just got to continue to chip at the rock and be a more disciplined football team.
What did you see? Drake May led the offense to season high when it came to points, touchdowns. What did you see from him yesterday?
No, offensively, early in the game, we started slow. But when he settled in, he was able to really take control of the offense and push the ball down the field. You saw him make plays with his legs. You saw him make plays with his arms. And I don't want to forget about our center, Ben Brown, who he came in there to start. He was here for 5 days, and I thought he did a great job yesterday. To only be here 5 days and to go out there and play like that is definitely special.
Gerard, one of the things that I really liked watching Drake was he didn't make kind of like the same mistakes late in the game that he did make early in the game. And so I guess from watching that, it's always good to see guys trend in the right direction when it comes to not repeating the same mistakes. Did you kind of get that same takeaway?
Yeah, 100%. We always talk about not being repeat error guys, and that's at every position. And you could see that Drake is not one of those guys.
Hindsight being 20/20. What you saw yesterday, do you wish you started him earlier?
Look, we came into the season with the plan, and you guys have heard about the plan all the time.
You haven't mentioned that before.
And I would say, for the plan, I thought it was just, we always had to try to put the team in the best position to win games. Now, in saying that, historically, look, Jacoby has not turned the ball over and was able to go out there and operate. We knew that Drake was trending to be the starting quarterback, and this was, we felt like this was the time to do it, and he gave our team the best chance to win.
Greg brings up the turnovers, and I know that's not something you want to see, but when it comes to Drake specifically, the 2 interceptions, the strip sack, is that a nerve thing? Did you think that he was nervous going into that game? Is that a mistake that's made because you're nervous about your first one?
I wouldn't say nervous, but I think any athlete or in any profession, really, when you're on a big stage, you're going to have a little bit of nerves.
Right.
Now, in saying that, the one overthrow, that was obviously disappointing, and then the tip pass on the screen. Other than that, I thought he did a good job going through his reads, getting the ball out on time for the most part, and running the offense.
Gerard, when you look at now with his ability, is this something that maybe we see Alex Van Pelt say, okay, we're going to try to utilize his legs a little bit more with more designed RPOs, or whether it's designed bootlegs and nakeds, or maybe he can maybe open up the playbook in other areas because of just his athletic skill set versus Jacoby's?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, people talk about, we need more creative plays and things like that. But going back to the offensive line, we still have not settled on an offensive line. I know the focus is always on the quarterback and what he can understand. Mm-hmm. And Drake is a very smart person. Now, in saying that, it's not just him out there on the field. It's also, other guys out there that need to be on the same page. But I do think going forward, hopefully the O-line kind of settles down, even though we lost, low yesterday. Hopefully when that starts to settle down, we can start adding new plays in there, and that comes just from practicing together with the same group.
Sure. So with a better, I don't want to say better, but an offensive line that is played together consistently, you feel like you can get more creative when it comes to the play calling.
100%.
Yeah.
Gerard, but
again, it's not just what Drake knows. It's what everyone knows. And going back, not to use his name again, but going back to Ben Brown, how much stuff can you put in 5 days and expect him to go out there and perform?
You said today that you need to do a better job of supporting the rookie quarterback on offense.
That's right.
And that began this offseason. The last time the Patriots took a quarterback in the first round, they spent $250 million that offseason, brought in a bunch of guys, Hunter Henry, obviously still on the team from that offseason. Why do you enter with this much question marks on the offensive line and at the elite positions of offense, knowing you had to support the rookie quarterback?
Yeah, look, I mean, if you look at free agency or through the draft, we're always trying to improve our roster. Now, in saying that, we had, you know, a lot of holes on the roster that we felt coming out of the draft that we addressed. Now, in free agency, we still felt like we signed the best offensive lineman in Mike Onwenu, and then re-signing some of our own players, which was definitely part of it. Now, once again, look, this isn't a one-year thing in my mind. It's going to take time to continue to build out the roster, and that's how it is.
I know you said post-game you were disappointed in the defense. Afterwards, Devon Godchow said that it didn't look like the D was playing with pride out there. Is that a problem for you?
No, I don't think it. Well, first of all, you know, I'm not going to tell those guys what to say, and that's one man's opinion. What I will say is that the defense went out there after going back and watching the film. You know, big plays aside, which I understand that's part of it, they played okay. Now, going back to playing complementary football, putting special teams in there as well, like, we just didn't do a good job there. Now, defensively, again, they were put in some tough situations where they were already, you know, with the turnovers starting on the plus side of the field. And, you know, we had the one sudden change stop, and then, it's got to be better.
But you're not concerned. I mean, if a guy says, I feel like we're not playing with pride, you're not concerned about that.
No, I mean, well, look, when he watches the film, he'll see that the guys were still out there flying around. Like, we went into halftime, it was 14-7. Came out of halftime getting the ball out. You couldn't ask to be in a better – well, obviously, you always want to be ahead, but 14-7 coming out the second half, watching Drake start to trend and not making those repeat mistakes. I thought the guys had energy, and they went out there and tried to do their best.
You brought up the plan again, and we were having this conversation before you came in, so I'm just going to ask you point blank. Was the plan that you guys were not going to play Drake this season, and that's why maybe the pieces around in the offense, the offensive line, you didn't really fill the spots that you needed to because you were going to go with Jacoby for the full season?
Look, as far as the plan's concerned, there are definitely different factors that go into that. Now, in saying that, I thought, you know, from a roster standpoint, just in general, especially with our younger players, we had to see what we have this year, no matter what the record is. And when we get out of this season, we need to know exactly what we have as far, from a talent standpoint, and then fill the holes that we need to fill. So just to answer your question, I mean, I don't know when Drake was going to play. Look, if we were undefeated at this point in time, he could ride it out a little bit longer if we were protecting the quarterback at this time, maybe. But in saying that, I think you got to get a guy like that out there.
Why was the roster in such bad shape entering this offseason?
You tell me.
he almost said what he but
not doing that one.
One of the things that, like, as I watch, that gets a little frustrating is the defense. I expected them to be, you know, top 10 defense, and at times they show that, but then at other times you brought it up, you have two rushes of over 50 yards where, right, like, if the guy didn't have a flag on it, they wouldn't be able to grab that. Are you as frustrated knowing that there are these lapses in the game, especially defensively, from a defense that we all feel like is better than that? And what's the problem that may lead to some of those lapses where they look great and then they look, like, really bad?
Yeah, not to talk, you know, look, injuries happen all the time. One thing I would say is, you know, you lose a guy like Bentley in the middle of the defense, it's going to be kind of a blow to the team, a captain for us. You lose a guy like Barmore, who hasn't played all year, who's one of the most disruptive players in the league. You lose, you know, the safeties, which I feel like we have, the you know, when they're out there playing, the best safeties in the league. And when they're not out there, look, other guys have to step up, and that's part of the growth.
How was Drake after the game, you speaking to him? What's one thing that you hope he takes from his first game?
Yeah, Drake was – he was great, man. Look, his attitude and just mentality overall, it's kind of not gronkish. You know what I mean? Like, kind of goofy, like a little bit goofy, but he was pumped, but obviously disappointed in losing the football game. And, look, we all look forward to seeing him continue to grow.
We talked about penalties earlier. You don't have to be specific and get in trouble, but just in general, at least from my perspective, one questionable call in the end zone and then a clear no call. Is that frustrating to you?
Yeah, it's very frustrating for me. Now, in saying that, look, they made the calls, and you can yell at them all you want to, but the call's already been made. There was a little confusion, too, even at the end of the half. You know, was it a catch? Was it not a catch for those guys? And I sat there, and they told me it was a catch. And so, like, we had to accept the penalty. It was just that whole operation was – it was just all over the place, in my opinion. But once again, not being critical of the referees.
No, right. No,
disclaimer.
No one's perfect. I think when you start to, like you said, look at this team and the development, you know, offensively, defensively, special teams, how do you feel like overall, I know your record's not what you'd like it to be, but how do you feel like overall week to week maybe you see the development of the culture that you're trying to implement changing, buying in? What's your assessment through the first, you know, 6 weeks of this season?
I think we have buy-in. The one thing I would say is just, look, the penalties are a frustrating thing, and that's not part of what we're trying to build. We want to be a smart, tough, dependable football team, and we have to continue to work towards that.
The question of the week for Gerard Mayo, brought to you by Hellman's, where you can get Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. As a head coach taking a team to London for the first time, what are the issues when it comes to, if there are any, to preparing a team when you're traveling overseas?
Yeah, I think you always have to take the time difference into consideration, and you know, when you fly out there, when you go, you know, do you go for the week? Do you go a couple of days in advance? Like, those are all considerations. One thing I will say is the NFL does a good job with this, you know, supporting those international games, and they're more involved in that than they are obviously the local ones.
Is that a bit of an advantage for the Jaguars being out there all week to get more adjusted when it comes to game time?
I mean, I don't know. To me, whoever wins the game is who executed their game plan the best. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And going back to the culture and mentality, like, your mentality, I don't care where we play, we need to go out there and play well.
Because you may see Mac Jones under center this week.
Yeah, look, and I have nothing but love. Look, I have nothing but love for Mac Jones, and you know, wish him nothing
but
the best.
Do you ever talk to him?
I haven't talked to him in a long time.
Does he ever reach? I didn't know if he reached out at all.
Just on the, because it's the last time, because the plan has now been put into place. The plan with Drake May and how we arrived here, you said earlier that had you been undefeated, maybe he would have been able to not reach the field as of yet. So what was it based on, the offense's ineptitude, or was it more based on what he had learned in the first 6 weeks?
It was more based on seeing what we had up front with the offensive line.
So if you had handled the offensive line in the offseason, there's the chance that Drake May could have started week one.
You can keep going back to that, but once again, handling the offensive line, what does that mean? Like, if you have rookies up there, which we drafted offensive linemen as well, and you can talk about free agent linemen, which I think someone said a couple weeks ago, but who are those guys? And this is what we have, and this is what we're going to play with.
And kind of touching a little bit on this, because the penalty situation prior to a couple weeks ago, I mean, you were one of the fewest, you know, penalized teams in the NFL. Do you feel like some of the penalties might just be a little bit of lack of focus throughout the whole game, consistently, like having those kind of mental breakdowns, which might lead to some of the penalties that you're seeing? Because you've put a pretty good team out there as far as penalty-wise. Yeah. You know, just in these past couple of weeks, you suffered some penalties.
No, that's right. And I would say the more frustrating ones are the pre-snap penalties or, you know, the false start. Even yesterday, the first play of the game, it's so frustrating that, you know, we're in the season at this point. The first play of the game.
But is that a focus thing, you think, from players? I mean, you played the game.
On the pre-snap. Yeah, yeah. Now on the post-snap penalties, like, some of those are questions.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, more of the pre-snap. And I think, because we can always, as a fan or somebody who's played, you can always, like, say, all right, that holding penalty is questionable. But the pre-snap, I feel like that's a lack of a player not focusing in on the situation on every single play.
You're talking to a guy who knows pre-snap penalties.
No. I was very good. Not a lot of penalties.
Very disciplined.
I was very disciplined.
Not what Dante said.
No, Dante will tell you. There were two things I was, disciplined and smart. When
and loud.
Because yeah. I didn't have the athletic, I didn't have the measurables to be able to keep it.
Right.
Yeah. But do you notice that throughout the game it becomes a lack of focus by players?
Well, it goes back to, just look at this pass game. In the first half, that was where the majority of our penalties happened. In the second half, we didn't have as many. So, I mean, I think that kind of answers it.
Any kind of a motivational trip to the Churchill War Rooms or anything planned in London for the fellas?
Nah, our focus is on Jacksonville. So that's
no sightseeing?
No sightseeing. No, everyone, go to your room.
No double decker.
Go to your room.
No double decker bus.
You've done.
Yeah, all right. Okay. All right, Gerard. Anybody else?
No, I thought you were going to make an Abbey Road reference because of your rock history.
Yeah, the Beatles. You could go.
Are you guys going out?
I don't think we have it in our budget.
Yeah.
We need more
commercials. I just sat here through 30 commercials. Somebody got to do their job around here.
If you got room on the plane, we would jump on a spare spot or
no
two.
Room. No room for you guys.
Next time.
Well, exciting. It seems like a new era when it comes to quarterback underway here. Yeah, so
I'm excited, too. I'm excited for just our team in general, getting better every week.
All right, Gerard Mayo.
Thanks very much.
All right, that's Gerard Mayo. We got to take a quick break. We are at Gillette Stadium, Patriots Monday. We will be back with a new feature, which I am calling Extra Mayo.
So that is
coming up. And our conversation with the coach brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did your debut in the NFL go the way you wanted it to?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it did. I think you want to come out with a win. I think that's the kind of ultimate goal, especially in your first start, is coming out with a win, and we didn't get that done. Playing against a good football team and definitely had flashes, but at the end of the day, what we preach in that locker room is winning football, and we didn't come out on top.
Drake May yesterday making his WEEI Afternoons debut with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart. If you missed any of it, Odyssey app, AUDACY, get it on your phone. Take it with you wherever you go. It's free. It's easy. You can log right on there and hit the Whiner app, Keith, as we've been calling
it. Oh, yeah. Get in it.
Get on the WEEI page on the Odyssey app. There's a little microphone there.
Leave us a little message.
Maybe you don't want to wait on hold.
Now, is every message, does it just go to, like, so they're all grouped together?
Good question. Where
or are they show separate? Because if you want to specifically be on our show, maybe start the message and be like, I got something for Jones and Keith.
Yeah.
And then
right.
Get into your whole thing.
Yeah, let us know right in the beginning.
Yeah. So whether you sound like Roy Firestone or not, it doesn't really matter. But yeah. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, so they don't.
Nick, Billy,
you don't want them stealing it on, like, the Greg Hill show or WEI.
No,
like,
that's our stuff.
That's our stuff. That's our IP, yeah.
Do you guys know the technology on this? Does it go to, like, one folder, or is it, like, show specific?
I think it's all one folder.
All right, so yeah, okay. So maybe yeah, start it. With, like, this is for Jones.
Did you hear that they signed Antonio Brown? Holy s***.
Exactly.
Yeah, it could be something like that. It could be like that.
It could just be quick. You don't need to even use the full 60 seconds.
No, God,
but
no.
It's right there for you on the Odyssey. another way to interact with the show.
Yeah,
you can also watch the full interview with Drake May yesterday up on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. I said this, Keith, after the game. I like that answer. I know it's pretty easy to go up there and say the right thing, and we're all in love with Drake May anyway after one start.
Oh, yeah. There's not much he could do that we would dislike.
But you like him going up there and saying, yeah, no, I don't think I had a great debut because we didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the right thing to say. It's good to hear it. I want to continue to hear it. It's not just a one-off. You don't want him, looking too happy in a loss. Where I felt a little bit about that after the Patriots lost to the Jets and he got in there and he was like a little boy waiting for Aaron Rodgers' autograph after the game and calling him the GOAT. I didn't like that.
Yep.
This I liked. And I feel like that's consistent. I want more of that out of Drake May. And this is a, you know, sort of an intangible thing, but I find him to be likable. And I never found Mac Jones to be likable. I know he was popular with his teammates,
mm-hmm.
but there were a lot of things that bugged me right from the start with Mac Jones. And I don't know. I feel like this is something that I can get more on board with Drake May. And I don't know if you agree with that, but I do find him to be likable. And I think there's a quality that guys are going to want to play with that where I don't really know if that was the case with Mac Jones.
Well, it's funny with Mac Jones because we had Kendrick Bourne on yesterday. the teammates did seem to like him.
I think they liked him, but do you think there were a lot of guys around the league who didn't like him?
No, and I don't know. I don't know if you need, like, once you're a teammate, though, that's really all that matters.
But the trick is getting guys to want to come play with you. I don't think there's a lot of guys lining up. Sauce Gardner was never like, I want to go play with that Mac Jones after he kicked him in the nuts.
No,
or punched him in the nuts.
Brian Burns.
Or he slid and took out Brian. Exactly. So yeah. I'm not talking about that. Once you get to know a guy, like, that can change. People hate Rodney Harrison.
Right.
People hate Brad Marchand. Once you get on the team, you're like, oh, they're a good guy. So I can wrap my head around that. But if you're talking about guys wanting to line up and play, I think Drake may have more of that quality, whereas Mac Jones was like, spoiled, whiny brat. I don't want to play with that guy.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that. I mean, it's there's so many different examples of guys that have all kinds of different personalities, right? Like, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is pretty polarizing, right? I'm sure not everybody agrees with everything Aaron Rodgers says or does. But for a time, he was one of the best players in the league. So guys are like, yeah, I'll play for this guy. So if Drake May is really good, like, I want to play for him. But I do get your overall point. You saw this during like the draft process, and then when he first got brought in here, and then the time at camp. Like, one thing that does jump out, you're like, oh my God, the guy is so young. Like, because he's a young rookie on top of it. So many rookies recently, because of the COVID year and everything else, I feel like the Patriots drafted all these like fifth and sixth year players for like the longest time. They had a run of guys that were all like 23, 24 years old. And now you're like, oh, this is kind of more of a throwback 21-year-old. But I think he handles himself well. It's the absolute right answer, you know, to say, how do you think he did? Because there's ups and downs. And you could be like, yeah, you could celebrate the three touchdowns, but no, the name of the game is winning, and you lost. So how excited can you be about the result of the game? I think it was a great answer.
Is there anything that jumped out to you from his full interview yesterday with Hart and Arkin?
No, I think it is, like, for a guy that probably hasn't done this very often. Like, I don't know what the press is like at North Carolina. It's not like Alabama, right? It's not like... Not all college programs are built the same, right? Like, Mac Jones came from a place that was much more under the microscope, was on ESPN or ABC, like, every single game. North Carolina, less so. He was a very high pick, but he wasn't the number one overall pick, wasn't the number two overall pick. And I was just thinking, like, all right, how many times has he sat down? He's done the media scrum, right? He's done the press conference thing. But how many times has he just done a radio interview? I would imagine it's somewhat foreign to him.
Yeah, we talked to him on the old afternoon show on the phone right after he was drafted, but not in person like that, where he's there and you know, actually sitting down for an interview with a couple of hosts. No,
just something different. And as you and I know, and everybody who listens to Patriots Monday and Friday, some of the players are more interested in doing the interviews than others.
Yeah,
right.
I would say,
and even the quarterbacks. If you just want to talk about the quarterbacks, you know, since I've been at the station, there's been Tom Brady, Cam Newton, Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi for a little bit, Jacoby Brissett, Drake May. Tom Brady probably did how many? 1,000 interviews like on the radio, whereas Drake May is just getting it started. And I thought he seemed pretty relaxed. It just kind of, you know, took the whole thing in stride.
No, and so there's something that feels like he has that quality where guys are going to want to play with him, and a quality that might fit here. Let's see if that actually happens. Like, it's one start. Maybe he has a meltdown. I'm sure people said similar things about Mac early on in his rookie year. So let's see if that's how it actually plays out. Let's see if the losing gets to him and if he cracks. Let's see if there's more moments like the dorky Aaron Rodgers autograph thing. But that I liked. And the full appearance, I thought he handled pretty well. He was asked about whether or not he wanted to start week one. Right. He's like, nah, I actually benefited from sitting and playing.
I mean, he said a lot of the right things, right? And a lot of people are like, oh, it's like the old Belichick playbook or whatever. But it's like, I think a lot, like, pro teams are like, hey, just don't step in it.
Well, and I don't believe him when he says he didn't want to start week one, because he told us way back when he wanted to start.
Of course he wants to start.
Jump, so
but he also had a good answer in there, too, about how, like, any backup in the league, like, obviously should want to start.
You want to get out there.
And if not, then, like, there's something wrong with you.
You know, he even said nice things about Alex Van Pelt. And so he didn't step in it. It's a low bar.
Right.
But Mac Jones constantly stepped in it.
Sure did.
And this kid didn't. We'll get to your thoughts here. 617-779-7937. Sam is in the van. Hello, Sam.
Hello?
Hello. Sam in the van.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yeah, hey, listen, I listen to you guys, and I love you, Rich is Rich Kid, right?
That's right.
You was on 6 o'clock after, you know, but you were always...
That was a long time ago,
Sam. That's the same Rich, Sam, yes.
Yeah.
But, hey, give a couple of reasons. I blame in the ownership, Kraft, and Belichick for the demising and the fall of the Patriots. Yeah, you know, and I give a quick reasons why, you know, go back to the perfect season when we almost, you know.
Wow.
Here you have Randy Moss. And then you go to the next year, what happened? You break the team up. All these things start to eat up Brady, right? Then you go down, and, you know, Brady keep fighting to get the team. That's why desperate measure, you get, what's his name there, the receiver.
Antonio Brown.
And he didn't work out.
No.
You know? But he had to bring him back down in Florida. But anyways, Belichick is the reason why, and Kraft, is the reason why the Patriots are where they are now.
Okay. Belichick and Kraft, not Brady.
The rise and fall.
Yes.
Right? They're responsible for the rise and fall.
Uh-huh.
In many ways.
Same in the van.
So they didn't break it up right after the undefeated season.
No, he didn't have that quite right, but shortly thereafter.
Bernard Pollard broke up the 08 Patriots. I'd put that on him.
It's true.
But
Moss didn't leave until like 2010.
Kraft and Belichick. Well, we started by Mayo sort of dodging the question yesterday about why is the roster in the spot that in. And so you could read it a number of different ways. Maybe he's kind of throwing blame at everybody.
Who do you think he was talking about?
So I thought he was talking about Wolf, but we've had texters, and I think maybe Sam in the van feels this way. Maybe he is talking about Belichick a little bit.
Maybe
there is a little bit like, well, did you see what I took over?
I mean, Kraft certainly is.
Yeah.
So maybe
Mayo is. And we know that relationship was frosty by the end.
Yeah.
Right? Or not talking, however you want to describe that. So maybe there's a little bit of the like, hey, I took over a pretty bad team. So what do you want me to do with it?
Sam in the van. I like that, though.
Sam in the van.
Rolls right off the tongue.
07. Like, I don't know if we need to go all that back.
Look, it was a
they
bit
were
of a,
really good for many years after that.
It was a bit of a walk, but you know, I think he landed the plane.
I agree.
He blames Bill and Kraft.
They're calling it
not time. Brady. Sam in the van, welcome back.
Good reception in the van.
Sounds like he listens to WEI all day. He was listening at night.
Even nights.
Unless he's just followed you here. Maybe that's possible. Maybe he's just a Rich Keefe
fan. I'll take credit for that
one. Yeah, I think you should. A lot of credit for Drake May and the way he played last week. Greg Bedard had some interesting numbers on Drake May and his performance. He says mixed bag for Drake May in this one.
Okay.
It's a start. I'll meet you there.
I'll listen.
It wasn't perfect.
No.
We all acknowledge it wasn't perfect. It was a mixed bag. Here's the good.
All right.
Highest graded quarterback in a game since week two of the, I'm sorry, of this year. Highest graded quarterback since week two against Seattle. His 11 plus plays on Greg's grading system were the most since the Philly week one win 2023 last year. So the first game of the Bill O'Brien era, Mac Jones against the Philadelphia Eagles.
So over roughly the last 20 games,
20-plus
games.
Plus plays, quote-unquote.
What the hell?
His second half was much better.
Okay.
The bad?
Yeah, I agree. The first quarter was rough go.
Oh, yeah.
It was a hard watch.
The bad, 17 minus plays. That sounds like a lot. 11 plus, 17 minus?
That's a quick minus six.
I don't love that.
Doing the math.
Those were the most minus plays for a quarterback since the start of 2021. Also, Mac playing as a rookie.
Okay.
He faced a season-low 35% pressure. I want to get back to that.
Yeah.
He also factored into all four sacks and two turnovers. Okay. Do you think the season-low in pressure was strictly about the offensive line, or do you think his mobility and his ability to escape the pocket aided in those low-pressure stats?
Yeah, I would say the quarterback definitely helps those line stats.
I think.
Yeah, that's how I view it. I know a lot of people just want to say, the offensive lineman either wins or loses. It's like, well, if the guy gets the ball out of his hands quick, does he have enough time to lose the battle? So I think, you know, whether he's kind of scooting on his own, I mean, that can still be pressure, and the pressure forces him to run. But how many times were we hearing people say, you know, Jacoby Brissett drops back? And not even...
That's an odd question.
No, I know. I know he didn't like that. And some of it might be on the receivers. That's why the whole thing is a whole offensive situation.
Because
I think it was... I forget which national guy was talking about it, how, you know, it's easy to blame the O-line. It might also be easy to blame the quarterback, because that's who you see, right? So you see the defensive line get past the lineman, and then you see the quarterback either take a sack or whatever. But if it's a three-step drop and every receiver is running like deep down the field, that's kind of on those guys too. Like, so if they don't have the play right, but it just seemed like once you got into late second quarter on, they were a little bit more on the same page. The offense overall as a unit was more on the same page.
It does seem that way. Meanwhile, Kurt Warner, Hall of Famer, tweeted out, I know it was Drake May's first start, but the film was a tough watch.
Ooh, tough watch film? Right. Well, he should watch the first 5 weeks.
I go, oh boy, that it's a tough
rough.
Watch.
Yeah.
He says, between the bad spacing and simplicity of concepts that they had on Sunday,
okay,
tough to succeed that way unless you have superior playmakers.
So, I like his scheme. There's been moments when he's shown to be a good play caller.
He disagree with Dan Orlovsky. He's putting that on AVP. Because I initially read the tweet and I'm like, crap, he didn't like how May played.
I think that's more...
He's putting that on Van Pelt.
Yeah. And sort of being like, all right, so now you're already asking a lot from a rookie quarterback to show up and have a successful season. But then if he's working against everybody on the team, right, like you don't have an imaginative play caller. You don't have elite wide receiver skill players, and you don't have a lot of time to throw. Good luck. Like, you just throw your hands in the air. You're like, all right, okay, good luck with that.
Not ideal.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us right now, here in studio, is Drake May. And let me pull up the reads for Drake May, as I should already have them up here, but I don't. So, yeah, Drake, welcome. Thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good to see you. And Drake May is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com, and by Cardi's Furniture and Mattress. Get next day delivery with removal and disposal at Cardi's Furniture and Mattress. Drake May, the man of the hour. Welcome. It's good to finally talk with you here. Now, we talked with you right after you got drafted in a previous incarnation of the show. It was over the phone. So this is our first time talking to you in person. And let's just go ahead and ask you, did your debut in the NFL go the way you wanted it to?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it did. I think you want to come out with a win. I guess the kind of ultimate goal, especially in your first start, is coming out with a win. And we didn't get that done. Playing against a good football team and definitely had flashes. But at the end of the day, what we preach in that locker room is winning football, and we didn't come out on top.
What were your emotions? What did it feel like to start the game? Did you feel like at some point you settled in and maybe put the butterflies away? What was sort of the emotional range you felt?
Yeah, those first, kind of just pregame, just a little nervous and a little, really excited. I was kind of anxious for kickoff, and kind of after the first couple drives, kind of settled in a little bit. I thought I was seeing it well. I was throwing the football well. Obviously, would like to have a couple throws back, but at the end of the day, I thought, the guys played hard. We fought to the end, and I thought we had a couple chances where we were fighting our way to get back in it, and we just put defense in some bad spots and turn over the football, and can't do that in this league.
Getting the ball with 1 minute left to go before halftime. Obviously, you have the 2 minute drill. It's really a 1 minute drill, but going out there and sort of seeing the field, did it seem like the game kind of opened up for you a little bit right there? Did it seem like there was guys getting extra steps and you just seeing the field a little bit better maybe than you did in the beginning when you were all pumped up?
Yeah, I think the big thing in kind of 2 minute drill, or like I said, 1 minute drill at the end there, is just finding completions. And a little 5-yard, it was really like a spot route to pop over on the sideline, turns into a big play, and just credit those guys for just me trying to find completions and let them make the plays, and end up having a matchup one-on-one where the Texans are trying to probably keep us out of field goal range, trying to heat us up and hit booty down the sideline. So little things like that, yeah, it makes you gives a rookie quarterback some confidence going into halftime, and then come out of halftime and hold the ball too long and another turnover. So just little things like that Coach Mayo is preaching complimentary football, and we're not getting that done, but like I said earlier, we showed some flashes, we got some stuff to build on, and we're excited to get to London and get back at it.
I feel like we have to rewind a little bit. So your debut was yesterday, but it was week 6 for the team. We heard so much from your head coach and AVP about the plan and you developing behind the scenes. Why was yesterday right for you, and how were you maybe better prepared for yesterday based on watching Jacoby through the first 5 games of the season and everything that went on the practice field and the game field?
Yeah. Just first off, just really thankful to get the opportunity to get out there. I think they had a plan, and I think they once they gave me an nod, they gave me a full week to prepare for the game, and that's something you want. You don't want to be informed a couple days or day of the game. Get you a full week of practice, being the starter, and handling all the other stuff, handling that. So really, I think the biggest thing taking from the game and how we didn't come up on top, but just kind of getting the sense of being the starting quarterback and being the starting quarterback in this NFL, and what you need to see and learn through Jacoby the first 5 weeks of how he prepares and how he handles different things and how he kept on fight and get back up and when he's getting hit, and little things like that is kind of what helped me, and playing the game on the sideline, all those kind of different things that kind of play into me kind of quote unquote getting more ready, and just kind of seeing things and seeing how it plays out, and instead of going out there week 1 kind of a little bit of deer in the headlights, trying to figure it out, and kind of felt more comfortable going out there last week, seeing some how things work and how we game plan, and what AVP wants from the quarterback, and little things that kind of go a long way in playing football and playing quarterback.
Would you say you're a more visual learner, or that you learn more by going out there and actually playing? Which one of those things do you think is more beneficial for you as a player?
Yeah, I think it's hard to replicate the game reps. I think it's hard to replicate that, and watching film and studying film and using the VR and all the visual stuff can help. But at the same time, getting out there and live bullets is hard to beat.
Did you want to start week one? Like, did you want to be the starter all season long? Was that something that you just sort of were week after week expecting to get that call and disappointed when you didn't get it?
No, I think, you understand that, Jacoby coming in as a veteran, what he brings to the table. And, I thought, he played his butt off and did everything he could. But at the same time, just, sitting at 1-4 and should the rest is, that's that. And, from there, you always want to be the starter, preparing like you're the starter. And, if you're in a quarterback room in the NFL, you don't want to be the starter. You probably won't be in there very long.
Now, 24 hours later, I'm sure you've kind of watched the film and seen everything, and now you also have your memory of it. What's the best thing you did yesterday? What's the worst thing you did yesterday?
The best thing I did is probably handling some adversity. Obviously coming out and that second drive with pop over the middle and miss him over the middle. Just something to beat myself up about. On the sideline, I feel like I need to make those throws, and so my best thing is throwing across the middle. Left a lot of yards out there for pop. I think especially on some of the crossing routes. But other than that, I think, bounce back from adversity. Yeah, I end up, putting together a scoring drive at the end of the half and kind of coming out with some juice in the second half. And then rewind that, come back, and, we're in it again. And then, the tipped interception. So I feel like times when we were battling adversity, I think we fought back and tried to get ourselves a chance to, get back in the game. We just didn't capitalize. And then something I can improve on is just, helping the guys up front. They got a tough task, bad on injuries and that great D-line from Houston. So getting the ball out and, realizing that sometimes incompletion is the best play.
One of my favorite plays that you had yesterday, it was a play action. I think it was Hasty. And then you ran up the middle and you push Hasty into the linebacker and then just kept going. You've always been touted coming out of college and starting off here as a mobile quarterback, a guy who can get out there and run. What'd you think of the way you were able to do that in the game yesterday? Is that something that you want to be able to build off of, and how much of your game do you think that's going to be this year?
Yeah, I think it's a big part of my game. I think one thing I was trying to do yesterday is not try to hunt those plays up, just kind of let them come to me and on a big play. And that's part of my game. It's how I play. And like I said, not trying to hunt those plays up, but it's definitely something that I can kind of feel like I have a good feel for.
I have this working theory that your family and your brothers are obviously a big part of developing you and maybe preparing you for everything that comes with being a franchise quarterback. That video where they called you a bitch, that thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes being kind of humbled or put in your place. I believe they were up for the game. Do you feel, and you mentioned them last night, talking about how they'll remind you that you lost. They're not necessarily going to say you threw three touchdowns. They're going to. How big a part is your family in terms of helping prepare you for being the starting quarterback of an NFL team and taking the good, the bad, and everything in between?
Yeah, no, I think it's huge. Huge having three older brothers that have been through a lot of experiences in sports and seeing a lot of great games where they played well, but they lost, and a lot of games where they didn't play as well and we won. I think the biggest thing we got out of them is we were more happy when we won, than we lost. And that's kind of how we grew up. And we were always, if a score was being kept, you want to be on the winning side. And it was never, it was always first loser, not second place. So that's kind of the motto. And I think it helps, still remind me to this day. There's not as much competing going on between the brothers, but we compete in our own ways. And my brother Luke's playing basketball in Japan overseas, so he's living through it right now in his career. And now I'm on the stage in the NFL, so they do a good job of reminding me, hey, you missed that throw, or hey, nice play. And they do a good job of pumping me up at the same time, keeping me humble.
Coach Mayo was asked this morning about how you handled the week and your personality, and he said, you almost have a Gronk-ish personality, Rob Gronkowski, who everybody knows was, the frat boy tight end, the fun-loving tight end, but also a really smart, productive, hardworking football player. Do you think there's some truth maybe in that comparison? Does that work for you?
I think it's easy, with the brothers that he has and the sports brothers to make a connection like that. Gronk's, a legend and what he did here, and I think, what kind of goes, without saying is the work he put in and what he did on the field. I'm just trying to bring energy, as a starting quarterback, for this football team and try to bring it every week. And then just try to be authentic. That's the biggest thing, is to be real and create real relationships and kind of start, leading in that way.
At the end of the game, I know the game was basically over at that point, but you guys were going for it on fourth down. You were picking up fourth down conversions, and then it seemed like you just were, kind of handing off, letting the clock run out. Did you want to take a couple shots there, or was that just, game's over, we're moving on?
Yeah, we had some shots to throw to the end zone, and they're sitting back waiting, for for a go route or something in the end zone. So just trying to stay out there, just trying to stay healthy and try to make some right throws and not take any hits.
What's your relationship with Alex Van Pelt? I know Coach Mayo in the summer said that's going to be the one voice you hear. That's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
And clearly you two have a key relationship in terms of your development and this offense's development. What's your relationship with him, and how do you think that can maybe grow as you get experience on the field?
Oh yeah, he's been great. I think the best thing about AVP is he's done it. He's played quarterback. He's played in college. Played in this league, and you understand what needs to be done and what it takes to play at a high level in this league. Also to say the guys he's coached. He's coached some great ones and Rodgers and some of those guys. So just trying to soak it all up. I think Jacoby's it's been awesome to have him in the room. Kind of be another. A guy who's been in that position and played in this league and seen a lot of different things. So AVP, he's great. He's very positive, and he's positive with the whole group. But at the same time, he keeps in check and expects a lot out of us. So I think the biggest thing for his offense is just what they're emphasizing and what we're emphasizing offensively. Like last week, starting fast, we need to get that done. The little things like that that we need to do, we need to execute them, and that's the big thing. So.
All right, quarterback question of the week brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. Today's question comes to us from Doug in Alston, and he says, Drake, what do you plan on doing in London when you get there? Any sightseeing, any tourism, anything that you really, Big Ben, Parliament, any of that stuff? What are you going to be doing out there?
I've actually been to London before. My uncle used to live out there when I was growing up, and we went to the 2012 Olympics, so it was pretty sweet. So I've been to London before, but other than that, probably won't do much. Try to get ready for the game. We're going out there on it's a business trip, but at the same time, it's a cool thing. Playing out there overseas and in London, so may try to see some of the Big Ben or one of the clocks.
Piccadilly Square.
Exactly. Something like find that. Something good to eat.
They mentioned on the broadcast that some people reached out to you to wish you good luck in your first start. They said one of them was Peyton Manning. How did that interaction go? What's your relationship with Peyton Manning? Can you give us
some insight? Just gotten to know him through the Manning Camp, Manning Passing Academy down there, the Manning Passing Camp down there in Louisiana down there, hot. And he brings college quarterbacks. I think it's a great thing what they do. Him and Eli and Big Archie, they bring college quarterbacks together to train kids around the country trying to play quarterback. And just got to know Peyton and Eli, and they've been great mentors. And just the thing, I'm around them a little bit, just try to ask a bunch of questions. And the two of the best that's been in this league.
So. Do you feel like you belong in that world? Do you get awestruck? I mean, like you Peyton Manning's wishing you luck. You were with Tom Brady in the summer. You're working with Jacoby Brissett and NFL players. Has it set in yet that you're in that world? You're a franchise quarterback?
No, I don't think it's really set in. I don't think either that I'm in that world yet. So I got a lot of work to do, but it is pretty cool. Especially being around here in Boston and Foxborough, seeing some of the fans and having them reach out and even out and about is pretty special.
That guy over there, I just happened to notice when I look at I have to see Tom Brady. So
it is what it is.
Andrew Bledsoe. So you're next in line.
Yep, that's right. All right, Drake May, thanks so much for coming by. We'll look forward to talking with you all season long, and good luck in England against Jacksonville this weekend.
Sweet, thank y'all. Yeah,
all right,
for having me on.
That's Drake May joining us here on WEEI Afternoons, and we will take a quick break now. We will return. And when we come back, we will get back to your phone call. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're right back here on WEEI Afternoons live at Gillette.
Alex Van Pelt yesterday on the wow development of Drake May. By the way, it appears that everyday listener of this program, Rob Ninkovich, has called this morning with some sort of an observation on Santo. Who we were discussing during the break.
Hasn't he taken enough this week?
Good morning. Morning, Robert.
Hi. Good morning, guys. I just dropped the kids off at school, got myself my Cumbies coffee, $1.50, beautiful stuff. So when we talk, every morning when I'm listening and I hear Santo, my image in my head of Santo, I think of Sato from Karate Kid 2.
Okay.
By the way.
It's like, you coward, that.
Excellent sequel, by the way.
I think of a pretty intense, is he intense? Is Santo intense?
Not as intense as Sato. Man. Similarly, they have great hair, both of them.
Great hair.
Great hair.
Do.
But
any salt in that thing? Any salt and pepper?
He's getting a little bit on the sides, but not too much. I probably have more than he does, but I dye my
own. Okay. But girls can dye. Yeah, it's cool.
But really, like, not what you expected from a sequel, because there were, in my mind, there was not enough hand-to-hand combat. But
that's actually, Karate Kid, just for full transparency, is my number one childhood movie.
Oh, wow.
Karate Kid 1, 2, and 3. 3, they kind of lost it. 4 doesn't count. But the 2, I enjoyed the 2 because the travel, you go to another place. Now, in real life, Ralph Macchio's not beating up anybody with a black belt. That their life journey was just karate.
Correct.
But I would say breaking the ice, you know, doing the breathing and breaking through 5 pieces of ice was it was always my childhood, one of my favorites. So, yeah, I love Karate Kid. I love the actual series, too. It's fun. Brings you back in time.
The series is big, though, now on ice.
What, Cobra Kai? Or
yes, the Cobra Kai.
It.
Like, it is
They did
back.
A great job. They, you know, Johnny's in the old Trans Am still, Firebird. It's all broke down. It's rusty. you know, Danielson's the big car dealer. He's got the money. You know, hey, I know a few people like that.
You must be bummed that Drake May started before week 12 or whatever you wanted.
Yeah, I mean, Wiggy. Yeah. You were right. I was wrong.
It's all good.
You're pretty. I'm ugly. You know.
Okay.
It is what it is, okay? But I would say that there was a bunch of great stuff, obviously, in the first start of a young person's career, 22 years old. Every time I see him on television, I'm going, wow, that kid's young.
Yeah.
But he did some – when's the last time we saw a 50-yard throw for a touchdown? It's been a while.
Right.
Yeah. He's got all the skill set. He's got the talent. I, you know, I'm not going to go back and say, you know, my mother used to say, you know, don't really rub it in and tell people you told
them.
Oh,
you listened to that.
But you told Rob. You told Chatham.
I tried to tell everybody.
You tried to tell everybody, but they wanted to wait. They didn't want the kid to get hurt.
It was so. You and Matt Ryan.
Now, I didn't like the fact that he just had an MRI. I didn't like the third quarter sack strip fumble where there was a clear drop of weight on the kid, and it took him forever to get up. He looked like Aaron Rodgers after getting hit.
Yeah.
But his ability to, you know, fight through that, make a few plays was awesome. So I'm encouraged. Now, I just want to see a little bit. Now, this is just my defensive mind thinking as a player. When we would play a mobile quarterback or a quarterback that was not a stationary target statue in the back of the pocket, you hate move the pocket plays and you hated quarterback scramble plays and you hated RPO because the quarterback actually could pull the ball and run. I just want to see a little bit more of the take advantage of that mobile quarterback. I'm not saying get him out there like Josh Allen and have him get hit on every play, but I want to see maybe throw in a little college, you know, take his 5 favorite best plays from college and sprinkle them in there and just see how they work. Because then the second that you put those plays in, the defense has to practice and prepare and take time into their week once you show it. So do that. I mean, just use the kid's ability. Get him on the run. See what he can do.
So Rob, you want kind of like what the Broncos did with Bo Nix last night, right? Where there's some designed runs, there's some scrambles mixed in there, but he's not taking shots. He's getting out of bounds. He's getting down. He's being smart with the football.
100%. Like, I almost took a couple of those plays and posted them, but I just didn't do it because I didn't care. But at the end of the day, I saw those plays, and I'm like, see, Sean, he sees the advantage of what he has in the backfield. He had who's the kid that they paid from the Saints? He wasn't really a quarterback. I'm having a brain fart.
Oh, you're talking Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill. So he's had guys in the past where he had Drew Brees as the stationary quarterback. You know, he's going to be in the pocket. But then he had some mobile guys to where he's, okay, Nix is quick on the edge. He can get out of situations. He can run in situations. Let's use some of these plays that I've used in the past for a mobile quarterback and sprinkle them in there. And what it does is it takes the defense and it just throws a little curveball at you to where your ends and your outside backers, they have to really honor the quarterback. You're playing somebody that you don't really think is – you don't really actually don't honor the speed. So, okay, run an RPO. I know they're going to hand it off on every play because I don't respect the quarterback. Now, when you have a quarterback that can get around the edge, you've got to sprinkle those in there, and then it opens up more gaps in the running game, too.
Nick, we've been talking about Brady going to the Raiders, obviously getting the minority ownership group approved this week. Do you think, or do you know, did Tom ever try to buy the Patriots? Have you heard anything of the scuttlebutt?
I have no idea. No, I don't. I mean, man, how much do you think 5% costs?
Well, it was $220.
It's like $300 million.
Yeah, $300 million.
If the value is $6.7 billion, it's
Do
you have to get a loan for that, or do you what do you do with that? Is that I'm buying a franchise, so like the revenue is always going to be there. A bank would be like, all right, cool.
Need some rich backing on that. But the thing I will say about Rob and
Wiggy, let's try and buy a team. Come on, we'll get can we get 0.1001% of a team?
I mean, we got to talk to Greg and see if Ernie Bach will throw us some money. You know,
Brockton Rocks, Wiggs, you can buy them.
Yeah, gotta get the rest of that Brockton contract.
Yeah, they still owe me money.
But don't you think it's weird that Rob, if the Crafts didn't offer him that opportunity, isn't that weird?
No, you know what? You know what? If I was to ask you this question, if you own a company that you started from scratch and you owned it 100% and it's grown 20 times what you initially bought it for, why sell any of it?
Well, because it's a business. It's a smart business move when it comes to selling tickets and interest in your franchise.
I think they're going to make their money. That the crazy thing is with league sharing, you're going to make $800 to $1 billion every year anyway on league sharing because everyone has to share the net profit. So for me, it's like if I owned 100% of something that I knew was continually always going to year after year, even if I didn't sell one ticket, I'm still making tons and tons of money.
Yeah,
I'd keep every single percent of my ownership and just keep passing it on to the family.
But the reason I would, if I were Robert Kraft, and God knows I'm not, is that he's really concerned about how people view him. He clearly is bothered by the current opinion of his organization, and whatever $300 million is to you or me, to him, it's a Kevlar vest, but Tom Brady is running the football department. Any issues are going to go to him, and he's able to walk around and own the city again.
Well, I mean, that would be amazing if everything was a fairy tale. But in reality, I mean, Jordan bought, what was it, Charlotte for $275 million or $200 something million. And they never won anything. And everyone's like, you got Michael Jordan, the best ever in ownership. And we can't win ever. And then he ended up selling it for $3 billion, which is, that's nice. But at the end of the day, like, I think number one, Vegas is a really tough market for building a roster, a team. I mean, yeah, you can have a team there in Vegas, but you got to have a lot of high character leadership, veteran guys. You know, look at some of the issues that they've had in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, that's a place on every day of the week. If you're a young person with money, you can get yourself in a little pickle. So, I think that for Tom to get a piece of ownership is amazing, and, you know, that's great for a former player. Why am I having a brain fart? Did he partner with somebody else to do that, though? Was Seymour involved in that? Did Seymour get a piece of that?
No, Seymour got a piece also.
Yeah, but I think his was very, very small.
And Greg also.
Yeah. But I think.
So my question is, you're bringing in Seymour, you're bringing in Brady, Mark Davis, is he doing that to try and generate more ticket sales? I don't think that's really going to be the case. I don't know. Maybe it's just he's just generating $600 million in cash for himself.
I think with Davis, he doesn't mind those guys because they will help, maybe with the franchise and tickets and excitement.
The brand or whatever.
I think the Crafts are more like the Joneses, Jerry Jones and that family, where they don't want anybody coming in to take away their shine. Yeah. But I will say this about Rob and his mentioning about the mobile quarterback.
Yeah.
Huge, massive shout-out by Bill Belichick on the Eli Peyton Manning thing on Monday Night Football. And Bill said when they played mobile quarterbacks, he would put Ninkovich on the left side.
Really?
Because he was such a smart player. Because remember, Bill kept saying, you're letting him get outside. And he said that he would put Ninko on the left side because he was a smart player and wouldn't allow that. So I guess in today's game, there's not many smart players, So take advantage of Drake May's ability to get outside because these defensive ends are not that smart.
But thank big you shout for out. That compliment, Wiggy.
Well, don't I thank me. My... Thank Bill.
Thanks, Bill. You know, I'm no dummy.
Hey, Nick, one last thing before you go. You know the organization. You're friends with Mayo. Is there there was a report yesterday by Giardi that less than 50% chance AVP's back. Have you heard something similar? Do you think Alex Van Pelt is here for the long haul as the OC?
Where's Giardi getting all his stuff from? I don't know.
He probably got it from Wiggy.
He ain't get it from me. I think AVP's back.
I mean, I don't know. Let's see if they can beat Jacksonville in London. I mean, I'd like to just see how I personally want to see, is there a difference in how the offense is run now versus the first 5 weeks, 4 weeks?
Yeah.
You have to use, and this is what, from the very start of football, coaches have to put the players in the best position based on their ability. You know, like, you're trying, if you put me out there one-on-one against Reggie Bush, that's a bad matchup, right? So you got to make sure that you put players in the proper position to excel based on their own skill set, and that's what great coaches do. So we'll see what happens moving forward for the rest of the season.
Rob, thank you for calling the show. We love
good
you.
Stuff.
And we will see you soon.
All right. I'm going on a bike ride. 1 hour if you see me around Walpole and okay. Dover and all Ooh. That fun stuff.
Make sure you got the booty the cushion on there.
Yeah, be careful.
I got the pads. I got everything. I flip it in. I got the lights. I got the helmet. Right. You know,
make sure you stretch. Right. You're getting into Achilles, the danger zone with the Achilles at your age. So just be careful.
I know. All right. I'm already halfway through life, so okay. I got to take it easy.
All right, Rob Ninkovich.
Danger zone rejoin. And the MRI.
Yes.
Maybe it did happen.
The MRI is literally one person who has reported it. One person.
Listen.
No one else has confirmed it.
Rob said...
Well, he's going off the stupid report.
Oh, I thought he might have been plugged in and then had some.
No, I don't think and I don't get the Giardi hate. I mean, Giardi's had far more success reporting things than Volan.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, all right. It's a Patriots Friday. We'll be right back.
Why was the roster in such bad shape entering this offseason?
You tell me.
he almost said what he but.
Not doing that one.
Gerard Mayo yesterday on the Greg Hill Show. It's high noon here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. What was he going to say? Go talk to Robert. Got to ask Elliot Wolf about that.
That's an Elliot Wolf question.
Go track down Bill Belichick. Who's he talking about when he caught himself and then said, ooh, actually, not going to go there. We've been discussing that all day. Here on Jones and Keefe, of course, the debut of Drake May as well. It was great, but the Patriots still have a long way to go. So how do they dig out of this, and how did they get here? Something we've been discussing with all your phone calls at 617-779-7937. We'll get to the Bruins, their game last night. We'll get to Kiefer Madness. I think we're going to talk some Jerry Jones and Kiefer Madness.
Yeah,
today,
he had a busy morning on his radio show.
I think that'll be worth getting to here today. Yeah, so that's at 12:45. Stay tuned for it. And right now, as we do every Tier Tuesday, which is also a Tom E. Tuesday with Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by D'Angelo Sandwiches, New England Sandwich Shop, which graciously
delicious
dropped off lunch for us here again today. The text line is shouting out, by the way, Keith, the Thanksgiving sandwich that they have on the menu.
Well, that sounds good, too.
Which might be a good future lunchtime. FlexCar, save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com and by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you're hearing this, chances are you're less than 20 minutes away from the closest Awaken 180, a once-a-week lunch break, a quick stop on the way from work, minutes away from proven weekly weight loss, Awaken180WeightLoss.com. Tommy Curran, how we doing?
What's going on, boys? How are you?
Very good.
We're doing wonderful. We're very happy to see Drake May out there for his first start. What'd you think?
I thought he was outstanding on a curve, but I said the same thing about Jacoby Brissett 4 weeks ago, Keith. but look, when you go against a Houston Texans team kind of cold off the bench that had undressed Josh Allen to the tune of a 9-for-30, 130-yard day the week before, harassed Caleb Williams in the opener with 7 sacks, and you're able to go out there and put together, not just completion-wise, percentage-wise, I thought he'd be closer to 50%, but also to make plays with your feet, take some hits, move around, stay cognizant of what's going on down the field, not look like you're about to pee yourself. It really was encouraging. And I thought he would be better than expected because I thought a lot of the panic was related to, oh, my God, it's going to look like chaos. But he still even looked better than I expected, and I expected him to look kind of confident.
If you look at sort of the supporting cast around Drake May, and I'm talking both on the field and play caller, how would you rank, I guess let's say the three things, offense, Alex Van Pelt, the skill position guys, and the offensive line. Like, which one do you think helps him the most, and which one he needs the most help with?
I think Van Pelt helps him the most. As much as we're having fun treating him as a pinata because of the NFL's, you know, where they rank in the NFL, you know, metrics of production on offense, it's a horrible roster. We continue to look at the sky and be surprised that there's a sun up there. It's a bad roster. So Alex Van Pelt, I think, is the one thing you can look at and say that's helping them. Former quarterback in the league, understands and has developed quarterbacks, is installing a regimen that I think has made Drake May look over the course of time from when he was drafted in April to now. He's miles different. He is way better than he was in April. So Van Pelt's helping him. Secondarily, I think that the skill position players that it seems as if the Patriots are starting to say, let's get Booty out there, let's get Douglas out there, let's allow him to, meaning May, feature those guys. That helps him second most. And then the offensive line is a massive detriment, and I don't know how anyone could think otherwise.
So let's leave coaching to the side for a moment, although I think coaching does play a large role. Who do you think Mayo was talking about in the clip that we were going with there? He caught himself, and we've kind of narrowed it down, and maybe there are other options. Belichick, where I know Kraft is willing to go. Kraft, Elliott Wolf, like who's he frustrated with when it comes to the roster? Because it sounds like he's frustrated.
Well, obviously, when you don't draft well for going on 12 years, and you haven't drafted an offensive lineman that you gave a second contract to and since 2016 in Mike Owenu, you moved on from Shaq Mason and Joe Tooney for no good reason. You had Trent Brown running around over there on the left side not doing much. You fanned on Isaiah Wynn. Who do you think he's talking about? It's obvious. The person who was in charge of personnel prior to January was Bill Belichick. The roster isn't good. How could it be anybody else other than Bill Belichick?
So why'd they spend the whole offseason re-signing all of Bill's guys, though? Like, that would be the one because thing that leaves me scratching my head.
Sure, no, I love this question because it's mentioned so frequently. Jabril Peppers signed for kind of low money for a good player. Now maybe we know why. Mike Mwenna was the best guard, offensive lineman, actually, on the free agent market, as was Hunter Henry at the tight end spot. So that's three. Ramondre Stevenson, I guess. Maybe kind of an overpay. Same thing with Duggar. But Josh Uche, you got for pennies on the dollar. Who else would you have signed instead? Calvin Ridley, who's bitching like a maniac down in Tennessee? Okay, it's going great there. It'd be awesome to have a $25 million receiver when you can't really even generate anything. This is the kind of thing where you develop and try and make up for the problems that were with the roster prior. But explain to me with the, we signed all of Bill's guys, what would you have done instead rather than allow Duggar and Peppers to hit free agency or to bump up Barmore, who's probably one of their best defensive players? What would you have done?
So, yeah, I would have. I mean, Ridley, Tyron Smith, or a bunch of guys we talked about.
Tyron Smith, Jonah Williams.
But all the pending, I'm going to keep talking.
One of the running backs that was out there, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Let all the pending free agents just go so that you're already changing the leadership, changing the coordinators, and now all the continuity that you had with the players who were there, just let them go too and replace them with ...
Well, so even if you put the re-signs aside, does Elliott Wolf get a pass for not bringing in any good players in free agency because, I don't know, like they weren't willing to spend a lot of money or maybe people didn't like the class? Because just going over the list, he didn't bring in any good players.
No, he was horrible.
Right.
It was a horrible performance. and a short-sighted performance, and it was a pee on your leg and tell you it's raining performance with Chukwuma Okorafor. It was embarrassing. But to me, the notion that, well, if the team was so bad, why did they re-sign all the guys that Bill brought in? Well, first of all, that announces how bad the coaching has been over the last 2 or 3 years, which it was. It kind of continues to track on the same wavelength this year so far, but that's understandable. But he did a horrible job in free agency because of the lack of urgency, but also in free agency, and this was interesting, Albert Breer mentioned this, why didn't the Patriots get a tackle? Why didn't they get a wide receiver? Because good players at those positions don't get to free agency anymore. They're either gotten through the draft or through trades. Teams re-sign those guys. So when there's a Davante Adams or an A.J. Brown or somebody else who switches teams, you're doing it through trade. When you're paying free agency, you're paying a premium for a Calvin Ridley-type player. And he's probably not really as good as you think, but because the market is so small, or excuse me, because the supply is so small, the demand becomes high. So he could have done more, especially on the offensive line. They're going to have to overpay because they're a bad team, and they're going to have to convince guys to come here. And free agency sucks. They have to build a team through, but the only way they're going to do it quickly is through free agency and trades. But draft is always the way to go, but the draft has been blown for several years.
Well, and then this year's draft, obviously way too early to tell. We just got our first start with Drake May, but their second pick was a wide receiver at a position that they have sucked at drafting and developing and all of that. Jalen Polk, on a day where other receivers around him had career days, like Pop Douglas and Kayshon Boutte, Jalen Polk did not. He doesn't seem to be fitting in great thus far. Where do you stand on Polk, and what's your outlook for him for the rest of the season?
I'm stunned that he's this poor. Like, there's no other way to put it. He's been a semi-disaster. I mean, he had a touchdown catch, I believe, in the first game of the season, second game maybe, and since then, just embarrassingly inefficient performances. Mm. And he played well in the training camp. That's what I'm driving at, actually. Mm. That's why I'm stunned. He looked good in training camp. He was out there with the ones. He got a ton of reps. He looked good in preseason. And this is so far afield from what I expected him to deliver, which is disappointing because I don't know if it's the geography here that just brings in any receiver and they immediately, if they were drafted, cannot play.
Uh-huh.
But to me, it's stunning. And I've always been a fairly big supporter of Kayshon Boutte's on-field performance, so I'm glad that he's starting to get more opportunity.
It's time now for Tommy Curran's Flex of the Game. It's presented by FlexCar. You can ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCar. What was the Flex of the Game from last week, Tom?
To me, the flex of the game was the scramble check down to Hunter Henry, which he ended up with 243 yards, Drake May did, but to find that ability to move, improvise on the run, and throw to guys who, because the play has been extended, have created separation, that to me is a nice flex. And that's something that Jacoby Brissett did in the first couple weeks, but it kind of went away when he said, I don't want to make any mistakes here. I'm going to flip back from the flex of the game, and I want to ask you guys, what's your reaction as I prattle on about the trump card that people use? Well, if he was so bad, how come they re-signed all his players?
Wait, who?
What's your reaction to my – what's your response to my saying –
No, I mean,
I don't mind re-signing a lot of those guys because I think if you take it case by case, you're like, oh, that makes sense bringing that guy in. But then when all of your best – signings / re-signings are just guys from a 4-win team, I think it looks horrible. So I think it's more like, yeah, go ahead and bring back on Onwenu and Duggar, but you better get some other players that are coming in mm-hmm. here that are going to help the team. But you can't highlight KJ Osborne, Jacoby Brissett, and Austin Hooper. Like, that's, mm-hmm. That's the real problem.
It's just weird to blame Bill and then bring back the roster from a year ago and then blame the roster from a year ago. That's all. To me, it's odd, and you can bring back all those guys. You just didn't need to stop at bringing back those guys.
Bring other players.
You could have supplemented.
Well, yeah. I think that the guys that you bring back are one thing, but when you blame Bill for the roster, you're also able to look at Isaiah Wynn or N'Keal Harry or, you know, I don't think Duke
Mac Ross, Cole Strange.
Long time ago,
yeah, oh, there's
Williams,
plenty.
All these other guys.
Yep.
I mean, there's two different things. You can say, all right, well, good job with Barmore. We're going to re-sign him. But that doesn't mean it's a sweeping affirmation that Bill did an excellent job. I mean, if you're going to blame him for the roster, you can't just say, well, they re-signed the good ones. How come they didn't re-sign the bad ones?
Yeah.
Because they already got cut, barely played a game.
Fair. And look, I don't think Bill left the roster in good position. That's why I was advocating him to be done long before he was done. But when it comes to this blaming Bill thing, there is a shelf life to it. And I just think, you know, you can only do that for so long. Like, I don't know how long... You know,
well, it ain't even close to the
Mayo and Elliott Wolf and Robert Kraft want to do that for, because this year is about them. I mean, Bill's been gone all year.
Yeah, they're not even close to the expiration date. It took years to get to this point. I'll hammer them and will continue to for the offensive line. It's embarrassing to go in with a straight face saying we did enough, and then by this time you have basically an entire offensive line comprised of practice squad players. That's embarrassing. But to me, the shelf life and the expiration date for Bill being held to account for this roster and the fact that they have Drake May at quarterback right now, because they were the third worst team in the league and they blew up the last quarterback they had in and they made horrendous coaching decisions, that's going to last for years.
Okay, he's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He joins us every week here on Jones and Keefe. You can check out his latest at NBC Sports Boston. In Drake May, the Patriots chose the right guy for a nasty job. You can check him out on Quick Slants tonight, WEEI Afternoons on Thursdays. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you for the extra babble time.
No problem, Tom. Thank you, sir.
Tom
every
Curran,
any Tuesday.
Joining us here on a Tom E. Tuesday.
Now, we have decided, Andy and I, we've been talking about this exercise for about a week now, I'd say.
It's caller-driven. It was an idea of a caller.
I think it was, yes. I forget who it was.
We give you credit, caller.
Whoever you are. Thank you, caller. And it was to basically go down the roster, and let's talk about what we have. Because I feel like Mayo said that a lot. We've heard Patriots apologists this season say, no, this season's not about winning. It's about seeing what you have on the roster and then making decisions for next year and blah, 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 blah. So let's get a jump on that, okay?
Okay.
Let's get a jump on seeing what we have on this roster. So far, it's been 6 weeks of the season, which is, you know, a little more than a third, I guess, or right around a third of the way through the year. Let's go down this roster and see who is worth keeping, who you consider to be above average, and who is a building block for the future here in terms of their youth, contract status, etc. We'll start with the defense, and we'll go with the backups on defense before we get to the starters. So let's go ahead and start with their latest phenomenon on the defensive line. Jaquelin Roy, who had a sack yesterday, his second sack of the year. I've never seen this man before in my life. I didn't know he was on the team. I haven't been going to practice, Andy, so I'm not sure about some of these fringe guys, but this guy isn't a fringe guy anymore. He's one of your best defensive linemen. Jaquelin Roy, who is, by the way, 23 years old, in case you were wondering, and this is his second year in the NFL. He was with the Vikings last year, played in 12 games. Jaquelin Roy, is he a building block for the future?
He is not a building block for the future.
Okay.
He is, what do I need to tell you, average?
Yeah, is he above or below average, or is, if you want
he
to say
he feels average right now. I mean, based on the short sampling and me realizing he existed and was on the team and did things for the team,
yep.
I'm going to give him average, and I'm going to say he's not a building block for the future.
Okay, how about Jeremiah Farms?
Not a building block for the future.
Okay.
Average at best player.
All right, I don't know anything. I couldn't tell you if he's average or not, so I'll just say not a building block. How about Josh Uche?
I mean, I guess I get to give a guy who had an 11-sack season average, but he's not part of the future.
2 years ago, so
yeah. But he's done it. Like, I mean, I got to give you credit for the year you had. But he has not stepped up to the challenge of Judon being gone. Remember that? That whole talking point was Judon's gone. It's going to open up opportunities for Keon White and Josh Uche and Anthony Jennings. I don't feel like anybody has taken hold of that and utilized it. So, no, he is not part of the future.
Uche did sign a contract, though. So, I mean,
one-year deal.
It's just a one-year deal?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
remember, he was like, I left so much money on the table. I could have gotten so much more elsewhere.
Okay, dude.
You're full of crap.
Right.
From who?
Yes, it was a one-year deal. 1 year, $3 million. Okay, so Uche, not part of the future. How about Raekwon McMillan?
Kind of too old and banged up to be part of the future. Average NFL player, but I don't think he's a building block for the future. No.
Okay. How about Christian Ellis with two S's?
Yes, a part of the future. He's coming on. I think he is going to be a rotational backup linebacker for years to come because he's one of those guys. He's not going to ever make any money. He's not ever... You need to fill out a roster with people like
that. Okay, so
like
he's an end-of-the-bench type of guy, but you think
he's
going to
stay in the backup role.
Okay. How about Marco Wilson?
No, he's not a building block.
Marte Mapu.
Not a building. Am I being harsh on that? Because I don't feel like he's a building block.
Well, I thought he had a couple of plays in that game on Sunday, but building block, I'd probably say no.
Not a building block.
Del Pettis.
Not a building block.
Not a building block. Isaiah Bolden.
Not a building block.
Marcellus Dial.
Not a building block.
Brendan Schooler.
Building block on special teams.
Yeah!
Let's go.
Brendan Schooler. Special teams building block. I'd agree with you there.
Yeah.
All right. Defensive starters. Keon White.
I'm going to say building block, but boy, did he come out hot and bothered and then really fizzle out over the last four games.
He's part of the future, though.
He's part of the future. For better or worse. You may realize he's not as good as you thought or hoped he would be, but he's part of the future. Yes, building block.
Dietrich Wise.
Too old to be a building block, right? He's like the new Lawrence guy. Like, he's a nice player, and he's going to peter out here in the next couple of years, I would think.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you on that. I like Dietrich Wise. I thought there was a chance that the same year that Uche had the 11 saves, I thought Dietrich Wise was kind of having a breakout year, and then that all kind of fell apart last season, and he's mostly a backup. I don't think he's been starting much this year, so, you know, take that how you want.
But I probably should have asked this before I answered, like, 12 players deep. Mm-hmm. In my mind, just so you know, the barometer I was using, like, 3 years from now, or two seasons from now, the 2026 season.
Will he be on the team?
Will he be on the team?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay.
25, 26, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, because next year you could be here, whatever, but I think Dietrich Wise probably not going to be here in 26.
Okay, how about Devon Godshaw?
Probably not going to be here in 26. You know why?
Probably
he knew that. That's why he put his foot down this offseason to get a little money guarantee.
Right. Daniel Akwale.
Nope.
Anthony Jennings.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
You consider him a building block or just someone who's going to be on the roster?
I think he will be a top 14 defensive player.
Okay. Top 14 defensive player.
So like three backups, rotation, something like that.
All right, backup. Sione Takitaki.
I got no idea what the hell he is. He just got here.
Well, maybe put an incomplete there. How about Jelani Tavai?
My three-year rule, yes.
Yes, you think he will be?
Yeah, you can get a few more years out of him.
Jonathan Jones, our good friend of the program, Jonathan Jones.
No, aging out.
All right, an ex on Jonathan Jones, Kyle Duggar.
Yes.
Yes, I
better
agree.
Be. You just paid him.
That's true. Jalen Hawkins.
No.
No, Christian Gonzalez. Yes.
Absolutely, yes, with capital Y, E, and S.
I think everybody agrees with that. Marcus Jones.
No.
No, okay. I like him as a returner. I thought he had a couple of good returns
in that game. If you want him as a returner, I'll say check mark.
Okay, so
but I'm not sure he's not a top three defense cornerback, in my opinion.
No, I think he's a decent third corner. I mean,
I don't think he is.
You don't think he's even decent?
No, I think he's a fourth
Tank
or fifth
Tank
corner.
Dell dismantled him last week.
Yeah.
That's true.
Fourth
and on IR right now, we have Juwan Bentley. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes on Juwan Bentley and Christian Barmore.
Yes.
I'd like to say yes, but I don't know about that condition yet.
Oh, yeah, he's going
to
be fine. I like the tone that's trended in the positive direction between Mayo, social media. I'm feeling good about that. How many yeses did I get?
Okay. The yeses from the Andy Hart list, and I largely agree with most of them. A couple that I might change the nose, but the yeses are Christian Ellis.
Christian Ellis is the first name.
Brendan Schooler.
Special teams.
Keon White.
Okay.
Anthony Jennings. Jelani Tavai, Kyle Duggar, Christian Gonzalez, Juwan Bentley, and Christian Barmore. And I'm keeping Jones out of it because we're not doing special teams. Although, I guess if we're not doing special teams, we've got to cross out Schooler.
Can't count Schooler
either. All right, fine. So I'll say, yeah, I'll give Jones a yes, too. So here it is. Building blocks for the defense going forward. Ellis, Schooler, Jennings, White, Duggar, Gonzalez, Jones, Bentley, Barmore. I'd say no on Bentley. I take Bentley off.
I think he's going to age out.
I think he's going to age out, and I think that this injury is not a good thing for someone like him. I'd say Tavai, and they probably go out and do something else at linebacker, I think, by 2026. If I had to guess, that's no disrespect to Bentley because I like him. I think he's a good player. I'm just sort of thinking ahead here, and I'm just not sure that that's the standing. I think you can do better than him, I guess.
Well, and I would also say, and both the text line and the Twitch chat getting involved in this, like building block question mark, says the 413. Can't even name what these guys do and what position they play. If you're really going to ask me the building blocks of this defense, and you removed Bentley, which I kind of agree with, it's Barmore, it's Gonzalez, and it's Duggar. I don't know that there are any other true building blocks. Now, I was giving you credit for guys that are going to be a part of the three-year plan, a part of the future, have a long-term future on the defensive side of the ball. But if you're going to say actual building blocks, like guys you're going to build a defense around, that's just Barmore, Duggar, and Gonzalez. And I'm not willing to say it about anybody else.
I'd throw White in there, too, but I think that's probably it. I mean, I just think that that's what they're going to that's who they are.
You want to keep giving up big runs when he gets squished down and the guy just runs right by him easily?
I think he can improve. Barmore's first year wasn't very good.
Or how about when he chases the quarterback and he decides, I'm going to do what I want. And you can call it freelancing or selfish, whatever you want. And he's going to run by me, but I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Okay, so your list of guys who will be on the roster, if we cut it down to just the building blocks, you're going with Barmore, Gonzalez, Duggar, and that's it.
Yep, that's just for me. You have three building blocks.
Three building blocks on the defense. Not a Pro Bowl among them, I don't think, right? I mean, none of those guys have been. I mean, Gonzalez might have been last year if he had played the whole year, but not yet for Barmore.
Not given iffy Pro Bowls.
Not yet
There's
for
no
Duggar.
Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
I mean, no if Pro Bowls.
So, yeah, that's your building blocks right now are three pretty good young players who are not elite, but they're
Duggar
someone
not
that
as
you're going to build
young
around.
As you'd like him to be. Probably.
That's true. Duggar's like 27, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so. He's 4 years into the league. So that's really called the prime of your career as a defense.
So how are we feeling about the future of the defense overall?
Not great.
Not great, right?
Not great.
Yeah.
You just made me feel worse. I was feeling good this week. It's May Day Tuesday, the first Tuesday of the great Drake May era, and you just told me there's nobody on defense moving forward, not to mention...
You told me that.
Not to mention, I don't know how I feel about the coaching going forward between Jerod Mayo and DeMarcus Covington.
It's fair.
There are some... I had somebody text me last night. I'll leave their name out of this. Not a team personnel person, more of a media person, who was like...
Perillo.
Maybe. but, like, is DeMarcus Covington a sure thing moving forward? Like, is he a building block of the coaching staff? Has he done a good job? Has he handled himself well?
I would say no.
We work better as a... Anybody? Anybody know the word I usually use?
When I say we work better as you say unit.
Work. Unit. Work. Yeah. Unit.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's argument to be made that the defense has gotten certainly a lot worse under the Mayo-Covington watch. I think that's
We should
that's
really do
clear.
This throughout the organization. Because I was just
with
thinking.
The coaching staff, too? Yeah, sure.
And the front office staff and ownership.
Well, there's only one guy in the front office staff I can even name, so it's like...
What? Grow. No, you know Grow.
Oh, Grow, that's true. All right, Wolf and Grow.
Wolf and Grow.
Building blocks? No and no. How about that? That's in my opinion.
We're really
I mean,
putting
this
X's
is,
through a lot of people.
This is what we're doing right now. This is why I couldn't get all that excited about Drake May. Because of this. Because of this roster. Because of the future. I don't feel like there's a great future here. And we're going to do the offense tomorrow. It's probably going to be worse than this.
But who, like, for example, not going to pretend to intimately know the Bills roster, but how many future building blocks do they have? I know they have Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as they have Josh Allen, most people are going to assume they're going to be a pretty good football team, right?
Yep.
And that's what you want to have with Drake May. That's my argument. My counter-argument to you questioning the roster, which is all valid. We just proved it. This was an experiment from a listener to prove that there are questionable building blocks around this team. But if Drake May is who we want him to be and hope he is and some of us think he is, then the rest of it is just details.
Yeah.
Right?
It's true.
Who are the building blocks of the Bills? The freaking Dalton Kincaid?
Deion Dawkins. I mean, that rookie they drafted, I kind of like from Florida
Keon
State.
Keon Coleman?
Coleman, yes, I like him.
Okay, you sure?
Yeah, I like Coleman.
No, I know you like him. You sure he's a building block?
I think he's going to be, yeah.
Okay, he might be. I mean, some of these guys might be. Leighton Robinson might be a building block. He might be the next great thing at guard.
And yeah, I'd say Dalton Kincaid's definitely a building block.
Well, he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
We'll see if he is.
And, you know, the defense, who's the guy they signed from the Eagles? At corner, Roswell Douglas.
Sure.
He's still in his 20s. Like, that's a guy who's probably going to be there in a few years. Daquan Jones. Russo, I don't know how old these guys are, but I'd imagine they're still going to be there. Like, the Bills already, they're not rebuilding. That's the difference. Like, the Bills aren't a rebuilding team. You are.
No, but you can do it with any team. Look at a three-year plan. Like the Jets. If you did the three-year, I used 3 years. I just picked a number.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do 3 years against the Jets, quarterback, no. Wide receiver, no.
Right.
Right? Like, right off the bat, those two. Hassan Reddick, he's never been there, so I'm going to put him a no.
Probably not.
Head coach, no, because they don't have a head coach, so I don't know if the head coach is, you can do this with good and bad teams as you're assessing kind of where they're going over this next window of time. And I think it's actually an interesting kind of exercise.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.